For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Priscilla and Aquila, as we pick up in Romans chapter 16, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
First of all, Paul commends unto you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church which is in Centuria, or she was a deaconess. Centuria was the port of the city of Corinth. And so she no doubt met Paul when he was ministering there in Corinth, but was serving there in the church. And some of those male chauvinists seem to have a little difficulty with this, that she was there as a servant in the church. Receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you, for she has been a succorer of many and of myself also. So Phoebe was probably going with those who were carrying Paul's letter from Corinth to Rome. And so he gives to her a letter of recommendation. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now, Priscilla and Aquila were gadabouts. They began in Rome. Our first encounter with them is when Paul came to Corinth, and their trade was tent making. And because Paul was a tent maker, he went to work with them in Corinth making tents in order that he might provide the food and all for his ministering party while they were there in Corinth. And if you will remember, when Paul was with them in Corinth, they had come from Rome because of Claudius' persecution of the Jews. So they had first been in Rome, no doubt had a business in Rome, but when Claudius began to persecute the Jews, they left Rome and came to Corinth. Now, there in Corinth, they met Paul, and they were established in the faith, and they moved to Ephesus before Paul had a chance to come to Ephesus. And while in Ephesus, this man who was mighty in the scriptures by the name of Apollos came to Ephesus and began to preach Jesus Christ unto the people. But Priscilla and Aquila took him aside and began to explain the word of God to him more completely, for he had only known John's baptism. So then Paul followed and again met Priscilla and Aquila in Ephesus, where he ministered with them. Now they go back to Rome and are in Rome at the time that Paul is writing this epistle. And so they have become close associates to Paul, beloved friends in Christ. And Paul writes to them in Rome. Now, the last place we find them is back in Ephesus again. So they moved around, and we do read that there was a church in their home in Ephesus, and here Paul greets the church that is in their house. So wherever they went, they would open up their house and invite people to come in and study the word of God. And so their house became the meeting place for the believers, and they evidently were just outstanding, gracious people. And I'm really looking forward to meeting Priscilla and Aquila. They're just the kind of people that you like to know. And it will be fun to meet them when we get to heaven. So greet the church that is in their house and salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Now greet Mary, don't know who she is, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, whom also were in Christ before me. Now, interesting, Junia is a feminine name. And Paul declares that she was an apostle. So something that perhaps you never considered, that there was a possibility that there were women apostles as well as men. Now, there is another way to translate this, and those who don't like that idea translate it the other way. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, or whom the apostles know, who are noted by the apostles. And not that they are noted apostles, but they are noted by the apostles. And that's the way other people translate that to say, oh, no, couldn't have a woman apostle. The other apostles who were in Christ before me, referring to Peter and John, they know these gals, or this gal, you know, so greet her also. You have to, in the Greek language, sort of bend it a bit to get that particular idea out of the translation. The plain understanding of the Greek is that Junia was indeed an apostle, well-noted apostle, that Paul is seeking that they greet, who actually was in Christ before Paul. So this will be interesting, too, to find out who's right in the interpreting of this, won't it? So Paul then sends his greetings to these others, names that were meaningful, no doubt, in the church in Rome, but really don't mean anything to us. Salute Rufus, verse 13, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. There is another Rufus, or it could be the same Rufus, the son of Simon the Cyrenian, who was compelled to bear the cross of Jesus. Some believe that it is the same Rufus. Now Paul gets down to 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. It is interesting to me how that in different places they have different customs of greeting. We were down in Mexico a couple of weeks ago, and down there it's customary for the men to shake hands, and then they hug, and then they shake hands a second time. So when you're down there greeting the brothers, you'll shake their hand, you know, hermano, mucho gusto, and then you hug them, and then you shake their hands a second time. In Italy, you kiss on either cheek when you greet. The men, you know, they kiss you on the cheek, and they greet one another with a kiss. And Paul, they're still doing that in Rome. Paul tells the Roman church to do that. Salute one another with a holy kiss, or greet one another with a holy kiss. And the churches of Christ greet you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark those which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. There are always those that have some weird trip to lay on the body of Christ. And they feel it is their God-given duty to lay this weird understanding on the body. Now, I feel that if God has given you a special understanding of the scripture, some insight, which is sort of unique and different. But God has given this to you, and it is important that the entire church receive the same understanding that you have. I think it would be well for you to, first of all, allow us to observe how this understanding has brought you into a closer, deeper relationship with God. How it has benefited your own walk and made you more in the image of Christ, walking in love. And when we have the opportunity to see how this truth has transformed you into the image of Christ, then we will be coming and say, "Tell me, brother, share with me, what is it that makes you different?" But just to go laying your trip on people when it hasn't had any fruit in your own life causes me to wonder, do I need to have that same understanding that you have? What's it done for you? I think that's only fair. Unfortunately, those that get these weird trips don't think it's fair. And they just have to lay their trip on everybody. But mark those which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, the basic biblical doctrines that you've been taught. No scripture is of any private, no scripture of prophecy is of any private interpretation. I don't think really that we need new revelations. I feel that we need new experiences in the old revelations. That God has given to us all that pertains to life and to godliness in His Word. It's all there. I don't need some new great revelation from God. What I need is a new experience. There are things in there that I have not yet experienced. I've still got a ways to go to experience all that's here. I don't have to go outside of the Scripture to some balmy experience. I would like to experience more of what's in the Word rather than going to extra scriptural experiences. And I will confess to you, I'm extremely leery of any extra scriptural experience. Nor am I interested in any extra scriptural experience. If you come up to me wild-eyed and say, "Last night, at 3 a.m, there was a bright creature sitting on the foot of my bed, and he woke me up, and the room was just all illuminated with his brightness. And I was frightened, and I said, 'Who are you?' And he said, 'I'm Gabriel.'" And he began to tell me glorious things about the things of God. And he tells me that we don't have to pray anymore. All we have to do is claim it. All we have to do is blab it and grab it. I'll say, "No thanks, friend." I don't care if Gabriel did tell you that. It's contrary to what God's Word has told me. So mark those. For they are such who serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own desires. I do believe that it is incumbent to that minister, servant of God, who is living from the ministry. I believe that it is incumbent upon him to live a very simple life. I do not believe that he should be spending a lot of money extravagantly on fancy clothes, fancy cars, fancy this or that. I think that the servant of God should live a simple life. I believe in that. I not only believe in that, I practice that. Now, God has blessed us financially. I thank God for the blessings that he has given to us. I thank God that we have all that we desire, and thus I feel that I'm extremely rich. But I do believe that as a servant of Jesus Christ, a minister of the gospel, that it's important that I live simply and not extravagantly, lest I could be accused of being one who is serving his own desires and not really serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And they, by good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. It is such a heartache for me to watch these guys on television deceiving the hearts of the simple believers. Oh, fair speeches, to be sure. Clever, humorous, interesting. But the emphasis is wrong. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I could say more, but I'd just get myself in trouble. For your obedience is come abroad unto all. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you to be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. That's a good rule. Be wise in things that are good, but be dumb in things that are evil. Well, how do you take a fix, you know? I don't know, and I don't care. I'm dumb in the things of evil. I would just as soon remain dumb, simple-minded as far as evil things are concerned. When I was in seminary, a bunch of guys wanted to go down to the burlesque theater because they had to know what we were going to preach against. I said, oh, that's stupid. You know, let's understand all of the evil. Let's delve into it and understand its workings so that we'll be able to really be knowledgeable when we preach against these things. No. Be wise concerning that which is good, but be simple concerning that which is evil. Thank God for that mind that is pure and unknowledgeable in things of evil. So, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Paul has the hardest time ending this epistle. This is the second amen now. And he just one more thing, you know. Now, at this point, Tertius, who was the man who Paul was dictating the epistle to, puts in his own little greeting. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. You remember Paul brought attention to the Galatian epistle. You notice what large letter I've written to you in my own hand. For the most part, Paul dictated his epistles. Tertius was the fellow who Paul dictated this epistle to, but he greets them. I greet you in the Lord. Gaius, my host. Now, you remember Gaius was one that Paul baptized there in Corinth. I thank God I didn't baptize any but Crispus and Gaius. Gaius, my host, and of the whole church, salutes or greets you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, is greeting you as Quartus, a brother. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Again, you're trying, Paul. Now to him. He's getting there. He just... Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. This glorious mystery, really, of the gospel of grace coming to the Gentiles, Christ indwelling us, our hope of glory. But now this mystery is made manifest. It was once not revealed, but God is now revealing it. and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, has made known to all nations his glorious truth, that they might obey through faith. And so through the obedience of faith, God's grace is bestowed upon all nations. It's no longer just an exclusive Jewish privilege, salvation, but through the obedience of faith, the door is open unto all men. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. He finally got there. And so the end of Paul's epistle to the Romans, fabulous book. And now we start in the Corinthians, and it's an exciting book because the Corinthian church was such a mess. And Paul is having to write to them, and it's basically a corrective epistle as he seeks to correct all of the stuff that was going on in Corinth. And so we find the Corinthian epistle an extremely interesting epistle as he deals with the various issues that had cropped up, the various practices that had cropped up in Corinth, and as he seeks to correct these abuses. So you're going to have some exciting reading as we move into the Corinthian epistle. Just a lot of good reading in this Corinthian epistle. A lot of good teaching, good understanding. You're going to find it extremely beneficial to your walk and to your growth in your knowledge and understanding of the ways of God.
Now featuring a beautifully redesigned cover, the Word for Today presents Reflecting God, an inspiring book by Kay Smith, written especially for women who want to grow in faith and impact those around them. One of the most meaningful ways to reflect God is by sharing His love in everyday life. But what does that truly look like? In Reflecting God, Kay Smith offers powerful biblical insights and real-life examples from her own walk with the Lord. You'll learn how to love, nurture, and pray for those God has entrusted to you. It's perfect for personal reading and an excellent choice for women's Bible study groups or small group gatherings. Let this book encourage you and help you encourage others. Order your copy of Reflecting God today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD.
May the Lord be with you and bless and keep you in His love, causing you to abound in the grace of God, being filled with the knowledge of Him. May you walk in a way that will please the Lord this week. Walking in love, walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, for Jesus' sake.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 1 Corinthians on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Romans 16. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way.
This program program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.